Hello, Quicklinkers. This time it's a different voice that you're hearing. While you've been hearing Peter for lots of the interviews recently, I'm Tom, and I'm here with another rider, a professional rider who has taken a big step forward in his career this year. You may know him from the top 10 of the Giro under 23, or you might recognize him from breakaways with Tom Pidcock in the Tour of Britain. But joining me today, I have Oscar Onley of Team DSM. Hi, Oscar.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How are you doing? You doing okay?
Yeah, not bad. And getting back into training now, so focus on next year already.
Yeah, well, I mean, I imagine obviously like a lot of riders, you've taken a little bit of a break, and it seems that nowadays the sort of pre-season starts earlier and earlier for everybody. People are off on team training camps in November, December, aren't they?
Yeah, I think everyone seems to say now that no race is easy and it's full gas all year. So, yeah, I guess everyone's in top shape from February onwards. So, yeah, it's important from kind of November onwards to be back in training.
So we obviously, we talked about obviously some of the highlights of your year. You know, it's been a really big year for you in terms of sort of your development and the results that you've got. But I mean, before we maybe sort of discuss that, let's maybe take it a step back and discuss obviously how you got involved in cycling. Really, sort of when did your cycling journey begin?
Yeah, so my mum used to always watch the Tour de France on TV every year. And so, yeah, probably I was already watching it when I was quite young. But my first memories were from, I think it was the 2010 Tour with Contador and Schleck. And they were that's what I first remembered from cycling and who I looked up to when I first started cycling. And then, the local club had a time trial that started almost outside my house. So I used to go and watch them when I was a bit younger, and then I think when I was 10 years old, then I was allowed to start the TTs, and so I started from there, and then it just progressed.
And so where were you in the UK when this started then?
Yeah, so I live in Kelso in the Scottish Borders, and I started there, and it's one hour south of Edinburgh, a small town in the Borders.
And what were you obviously your mum, your dad, sort of obviously your mum had a keen interest in cycling, watching the Tour de France. Did they cycle themselves, or is it just something that they watched?
No, they didn't. Neither of them cycled. I think my mum got into it through friends at college or something when she was quite young, and she would watch the Tour now and again, and so it's kind of a bit strange how I got into cycling, actually.
So, I mean, obviously, it sounds like you were competitively cycling quite early. As soon as you could enter these TTs, you were in them and you were doing it. So it sounds like obviously you've always been competitive with your cycling. When did you begin to think actually this is something that I could turn maybe into my career? Sort of when was that moment?
Yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest, because when I was younger, I did a lot of different sports, and I think I can't remember what year it was exactly, but at a certain point I had to choose between running and cycling, because I also did a lot of running, and I just preferred cycling, so I continued with that, and then probably from that point onwards I always had the dream to become a professional. But to be honest, it's something you say, but in the back of your mind you always have a backup, and you're thinking, maybe this isn't going to happen,
And was it always the road? Great Britain in itself, and obviously, Scotland with obviously Chris Hoy has obviously a big, pedigree in track cycling. Was that something that ever interested you, ever did, or was it always sort of the road that you were focusing on and you wanted to do?
Yeah, I did quite a lot of track from under 14s onwards up until junior, and I enjoyed the training there, but the races didn't really suit me, and I just prefer to be out on the road doing longer rides on the road.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's talk about obviously Team DSM. You're on the development squad. Is this your first year or your second year on the development
squad? Second year.
So I mean, coming into sort of your second year, you know, on the development squad, you know, if you were going to, you know, say what would be a successful year for you, what were you aiming for this year?
Yeah, I didn't have so many specific goals. I really wanted to make a step up from last year. I think last year I struggled quite a lot adapting to like the European races, and everything's bigger descents, bigger bunches, more hectic finals, and that's something I struggled with quite a lot. So that was my main focus for this year. And obviously, yeah, I think when you get better at that, then results can also come. But I didn't set out at the start of the year with any specific goals.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I suppose sort of your first big race sort of target at the big, you know, in the beginning of the year probably was, I imagine, the Giro, sort of under 23. You know, yeah. You obviously pulled out a great result, a top 10, you know, a former teammate, you know, Leo, obviously sort of finishing on the podium. You know, you certainly, you would have hoped, I imagine, for a good result. You know, certainly, you know, were you the team's sort of plan A, or did you have a couple of options available to you at the race?
Yeah, we had there was myself and Hannes Wilksch, who ended up seventh, I think, on GC. We were kind of like the GC riders for that race. But to be honest, coming into that race, we didn't really have any GC plans. It was more go for stages. Obviously, don't try and lose time. But yeah, and then after I think it was stage three, then we kind of reevaluated to see where we were and what we could get out of the rest of the race. But it was my first race in like the big mountains, so I also didn't really have, I didn't know what I could do. I didn't know if I would be any good in the big mountains or what. So yeah.
I mean, yeah, sort of, especially obviously, I imagine you probably had a inkling that you liked going uphill or liked sort of the sort of mountains when you were sort of training, but you know, it would have been that first race, I imagine, where you really were in a peloton. You were at full gas, sort of going up there. And you know, you're only 20, so you've got, you know, a couple more years at, you know, under 23. Were you intimidated, or you know, did you think that you wouldn't get the result that you get, or did you know that you had that result in you? Did you know that you had that in you?
Yeah, I think in the back of my head, I always knew I could do something like that. I knew, I think, all the riders in the top 10 that I'm good friends with, and I know my level compared to theirs, and yeah, we're quite similar. So I knew that if everything went well, then there was no reason I couldn't get a top 10. It was just putting that together over 7 days.
And I suppose, obviously, you know, as the year went on, you know, your stature within sort of British cycling, sort of within that, at the sort of under 23 level, sort of increased, really, as you know, you stepped up, obviously, for to sort of like, well, the Team DSM, sort of their team, for a couple of races, didn't you? Obviously, at the Tour of Britain, and that's I can't remember its name, but the Croatia Tour, yeah. Sort of, I can't remember its name off the top of my head. There, you know, what was that like as you know, you're stepping up to the senior team, sort of riding with those senior riders, first of all? You know, I imagine you were going into it looking to try and gain as much experience as you can.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's why the team put us in those sort of races, I think, to learn from the bigger and older riders. And also, I think it's really good for our development, and it kind of narrows that gap to the World Tour. Obviously, we can't do World Tour races, but we can do point ones or point pros. And so, yeah, if you can already do that as a Devo rider, then when you step up to the World Tour, then it's, it's just like how you were doing it the year before or something. It's almost the same.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of at the Tour of Britain, I think it was, maybe stage three or stage four. So you were in a breakaway, weren't you, with Tom Pidcock, obviously, which is, you know, one of the better known names sort of in the peloton, let alone GB cycling. And it was it Dylan Toons from Israel Premier Tech or whatever their name is nowadays. That must have been a bit of a surreal moment, you know, sort of suddenly finding yourself off the front with essentially the two of the biggest favourites for the race, you know, on one of the biggest climbs in the race so far.
Yeah, I think when I got to the top of that climb and saw the riders I was with, then yeah, it was a bit of a, as you say, a surreal moment. And it also gave me a lot of confidence because I knew, yeah, if it was a hard climb and if there's only two other guys that are with me at the top, then yeah, it shows that I had good legs that week.
And then obviously you essentially then went to Croatia sort of again as part of the team DSM sort of set up there, and you essentially went one better, you know, not only once but twice. The only person to best you was the current Tour de France champion, so that must have again filled you with confidence. And
it was, to be honest, at the time I didn't realize how big a deal that was, but yeah, after the first stage that was second, then when you see all the reactions from everyone, then you have to kind of take a step back and realize that yeah, it was actually quite a big deal. But obviously at the time when I came second, then being that close to the win, you always want to win, so it was it was a bit of a difficult one. But yeah, looking back, then I can only be happy at that week.
Excellent. I think you finished third overall in GC, didn't you, in the end, because Mohoric sort of pips and bonus seconds on the line and won in the end, didn't he, from there. So, I mean, obviously you then went on to Paris Tour and sort of raced there. And obviously, like you said, you had, you've been in the off season now, sort of had about a month off the bike. So, what does this off season look like for you going forward? Yeah, what's the plan?
Yeah, so it's just from now on starting training again. Nothing crazy. Just getting used to the bike again in November, and then from December onwards, then it gets a bit more intense. And then focusing on next year. And I guess I can have a few more race specific goals. I think I proved that I can be up there and competing for the win in races now. So yeah, I think I can also make some more specific goals for next year.
And is with the structure at DSM sort of, is the development team and the sort of main team, do they mingle quite a lot, sort of, especially in that sort of pre-season sort of training atmosphere? Do you all train together, or how does that work?
Normally we have a team week in October where it's the whole team, the women's team, men's team and our team all together, but unfortunately we couldn't do it this year. But it's a really good week for team building. And then I think the January camp, at least the women's team are with us, and I think the men's cross over a little bit. And all the staff are they kind of work between all three teams, so it's one big team. You don't really feel separated from the World Tour or anything.
Right. So I mean, Team DSM has had quite a few high profile riders move on from the team in somewhat mysterious circumstances, let's say. There's been press releases, people have moved on, they certainly sort of in a lot of the interviews that obviously the management have given, they certainly have a philosophy of how they work and how they do things together. And I imagine, like a lot of philosophies, that will work for some people and won't work for others. You obviously are finding your feet at DSM, so I'm assuming it's something that you can buy into.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said. It works for some people and not for others. I think because I've come through the Scottish cycling program, which is kind of run alongside the British cycling program, and I can see a lot of similarities between that and how DSM is run. And I think sometimes it's not always, at the time you think it's not always the best decision for you. But if you then look at the bigger picture and who else is involved in that decision, then it's always for the best interest in the team in general. And sometimes it can go against you, but you have to look at the bigger picture. And I think for me anyway, it works really well. And it's kind of an atmosphere and an environment that I'm already used to for a few years before joining the team.
So I'm assuming, obviously, it's another year on the development team next year as a starter. But I assume, obviously, because of your success this year and because of obviously just for your development, you're stepping into that sort of team DSM for the sort of point ones and the point pros a little bit more often.
Yeah, so at the end of the season, I had a discussion with the team and had a few meetings. And so we're kind of going through different options just now of what I'll do next year. And yeah, I can't really say too much about it, but we have a good plan for next year. And yeah, it's probably going to be a good mix of the pro races and Devo races. And I'm still young and I've still got a lot of things to learn and areas to improve on.
And I mean, quite an open-ended question, but what do you think success would look like for you next year?
I think the main one is improving on my weaknesses. I think physically I'm at a very high level, but there's a lot of areas that I need to improve on, like in the bunch and descending. And I think if I can improve on those next year, then I can start looking at bigger things for the future. And that's ultimately where I want to be down the line in 3 years' time or whatever. So yeah, I think the main focus next year is on trying to improve them and obviously going for results. And I don't know my calendar yet, so I can't say any specific races or goals, but yeah, obviously trying to get results where I can throughout the year.
I'm assuming, obviously, with the Worlds in Glasgow, sort of, under 23 sort of Worlds will be on your calendar as something that you want to aim for and try to do well in.
Yeah, it'd be a massive opportunity, but also maybe it's not the best suited parkour to me. So there's a lot of strong riders in Britain. So yeah, I've got to get selected first.
Excellent. All right. Well, I mean, obviously, best of luck from all of us at Quicklink, Oscar, for sort of next year. We'll obviously be keeping an eye on how you get on next year. And perhaps, obviously, hopefully we can catch up again at some point, in the future when you've been racing a bit more, hopefully a bit more success, and you can fill us in on how you're getting on.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for having me again.
Yeah. All right. Cheers. Thanks very much, Oscar.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Quicklink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at Quicklink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.